What's up, guys? I'm Ezra Henry, and welcome back to another episode of the Moto 247 Show. Today's episode is our first ever Supercross preview show, and today's episode we're going to preview Houston SX, which is the first round for the East Coast guys. And as you guys know, the West Coast is pretty wild. We got Oakland postponed, which you hardly ever see at all, and then the weather, it seemed like each week was so bad. It felt so bad for the Dirtworks track crew, as each week they were working with just absolute mud, and somehow each week they got it together where the tracks are honestly pretty good. So props to them, mad props to them. But now we're heading over to the East Coast where we're hitting more indoor stadiums, and the first round for the East Coast is in NRG Stadium in Houston, which we have a roof over that, so we're all good. We don't have to worry about rain this weekend. So it should lead to some really good racing. But heading over to just the 250 East class, honestly, it's pretty stacked. And I don't think that many people talk about it because it doesn't have Jet Lawrence in it, and especially since Joe Shimoda got hurt. And as you guys know, the injury bug has freaking hit, and it's hit hard, and which is really crazy this year because not only has it hit the West Coast guys and along with the 450 guys, it's also hit the 250 East guys, which, you know, they haven't got underway with round one yet. So it's just really unfortunate for them, really bummed for everyone that's got hurt this season, and especially for the 250 East guys that haven't even got one lap around the track. So it just really sucks for them, and especially for Joe Shimoda. He was having a really good year last year, made a lot of progress from Supercross out to the outdoors, and an outdoors man, he looked really good, and I had really high hopes for him during the Supercross season, and I thought it was going to be him and Hunter Lawrence battling for the title this year, and it sucks. PC just got hit hard by the injury bug, and that's going to lead to some fill-in riders, and one of them is Chris Blows. He came out of retirement. He was in retirement for a super long time, a total span of, I think it was like 3 months, so not too long, but he raced the Cowie over the fall in the World Supercross and Paris Supercross, so he has some seat time on that Kawasaki 250. Just now he has to transition over to the pro circuit setup, but I really can't wait to see him race this weekend. I think he's going to do really good, honestly. He's been a solid rider for years now, so really pumped on him getting the PC ride, and yeah, it should be a good one. But getting over back to the track, this track is a little bit different because the football stadiums, and I want to just talk about this for a second. I may have already talked about this on the podcast, and I'm sorry if I already have. I'm repeating myself, but I don't think I have. But so, I don't know. I'm just a big fan of West Coast tracks. I know a lot of people on the East Coast hate the West Coast because it starts at 10 p.m., gets over at 1 p.m., and man, that absolutely does suck, though. But those West Coast tracks and the baseball stadiums are a lot better, I think, for the most part. And those baseball stadiums are just bigger. They allow for different layouts, just not the traditional back and forth that we see in the smaller stadiums like my hometown of Detroit, Michigan, and Ford Field, along with its sister stadium and Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis there, where it's just smaller tracks. And over the last, like, I don't know what it's been, but it's like the last 5 to 7 years or something, like these lap times in those smaller stadiums are just getting down way too far, where it's almost like a glorified arena cross track, or lap time, I should say, where it's like you're seeing some of these lap times. I could have swore like Detroit might have been last year or the year before some, or Lucas Oil, it was like a 45-second lap time, which is just crazy. And that's why I kind of like the West Coast a lot better, where it's West Coast, it's low 50s all the way up from low 50s to high 50s, and sometimes you see it over a minute, which is not that often, but still, even if you're at like a 54, 55, I think that's like a perfect Supercross time, along with the tracks being a little bit more different. You got some more styles, normally seeing, you know, more over-unders in the West Coast and more unique track designs. But as we transition over the East Coast, we hit more football stadiums and more basic track designs. And so I guess we'll see how creative the track designers are this year, which the track maps have got released, but you know, sometimes you can't really tell until you see some racing on it where it catches you off guard. So anyways, by looking at this track design though, I think it's going to be a pretty good race. We got a super long set of whoops, which they seem like they're pretty big as well, so it's going to look like they're going to be a big separator during the race. So I think that's one of the keys to the race this week. I guess it just depends on how big they are. But even with them being, if they weren't even that huge, they're just on the track map, they look like it's a freaking long set of whoops. So I think that's going to be a big separator this week. And talking about the 250s, I think it's going to be some really good racing, because even though like Joe Shimoda's hurt, and I really felt like it was going to be him and Hunter battling out for the title. And I know since he's got hurt, there's been a lot of talk that it's just going to be Hunter walking away with the title. But I don't think so. Like, I feel like he can for sure, but I think a lot of people forget who's also in this class. There's guys like Mosman. There's guys like Jordan Smith. And more or less, a lot of these guys are wild cards. Like, we know they can put in... Like, we've known they have the speed of just what it takes to get the win, but it's just not someone that's consistently up there, like someone like, let's say, McAdoo or someone on the West Coast. But I think... Still, like, if Hunter gets a fifth-place start, these guys are going to give them a really hard time. And let's see if I can get these entries pulled up here. I just had those up for Houston. And we got a lot of top dogs here. We got and going back to, like, these underdog guys, we got, like, guys like Nate Thrasher that puts in phenomenal rides. And, like, he's just – the next week he looks – completely off, so he's all over the board, but still he can be a threat to get a win one night and get in front of Hunter there for a little bit. But we got guys like him, we got Mosman. Over the years he's shown that he has a ton of speed. Just the same thing with a lot of these guys, they just have to piece it together. They have a lot of these puzzle pieces, but they just have to piece them together, man. And I think Mosman can do really good. Really hoping he's going to be up there this year. We got Marshall Weltlin on the, he's on the Progressive team, the Progressive side of that Hat Motorsports team, along with Ken Roczen there. We got him. We got Chris Blos filling in on the Pro Circuit Kawasaki. We got Jordan Smith. Jordan Smith has been great throughout his career. There's been a lot of ups, but also a lot of downs as well. And I think a lot of people count him out because he hasn't been up there consistently like he used to be. But I don't know, like, he's just been so banged up over the years. And then going back, whenever I hear his name, I always think of, I think it was 2017 when Zach Osborne got the title, where it was him, Smith, and Savachi. And I believe, wasn't it Adam Cincirillo was there too? And all those guys had a shot at the title. And Zach ended up going out in the first corner and it came, caught all the way up through the pack and made the pass in the second to last corner on Joey Savachi for that title. But I think a lot of people forget, like, they think of Savachi and they think of Zach Osborne, but I do think a lot of people forget about Jordan Smith. He was right there. He was looking really good and had that really gnarly crash there on that high speed straight. But, there's multiple years when he was running up front and he was in the title fight that I think a lot of people have been counting him out lately. And I think he may have something up his sleeve, but who knows? It's the same thing. Like a lot of these guys, like, I think they can get it done, but they have a really high ceiling, but a lower floor than what, someone you're comfortable with, making a prediction for them getting the title or even being up there in the title fight. And the same thing with Jeremy Martin. He has had a lot of ups in his careers, and he's had a lot of downs. Just, the big thing, along with pretty much everyone in the sport, is just trying to stay healthy. And when you can't, it's just such a battle of just trying to get back as these guys keep on pushing the bar and constantly progressing. And Jeremy Martin, as you guys know, had a lot of gnarly injuries. So. Seems like he's doing really good on that new ride of his, which is that Club MX Yamaha. And that whole team is crushing it. It's so cool to see the progression each year. Each year they're getting so much better. And I feel like I talk about it each year. I know I talked about it last year, and I'd bet money that I talked about it back a couple years ago in, 2021? But yeah, each year they've made so much progress, and it's really cool to see what they've done on the West Coast. And now Jeremy Martin's coming over on the East Coast, and I think he's going to do some damage. Like, he's traditionally not known for being a Supercross rider, but he has put in really good results during Supercross over his years in the 250 class. But more or less, I'm just excited to see him this summer. Hopefully he stays healthy throughout Supercross so he can have so he can be healthy going into the Outdoor Championship. But don't count him out for Supercross. I'm not saying he's going to win the title, but I don't know. I expect him to be up there for sure. Really excited for him, along with we got the fill-in rider that was announced today for the Club MX Yamaha team, which is Preston Kilroy. I think he should do pretty good this weekend. We'll see how it all plays out. There's a lot of big names in here, so not exactly sure where he's going to line up in the results, but I guess we'll see this weekend. But along with we got him filling in, we got Chris Bolos, like I mentioned earlier. We got future riders moving up. It's been rumored for weeks now, and now we finally have it now. We got the answer. We got Hayden Deegans moving up for his pro debut in Houston. Well, I guess he made his pro debut last year during the outdoors, but his Supercross debut, I should say, and in Houston. So that's going to be really exciting to see, and I think a lot of eyes are going to be on him. There's going to be a lot of outside pressure on him, but on the inside, I don't think there's that much pressure on him, because there's a lot of talks of just in general of him, you know, sitting out this year and doing amateurs, not sitting out, but doing amateurs, you know, hitting up Loretto's one last time and then going in for next year. But, or, you know, even doing the Spring Nationals and then doing outdoors professionally this year. But I'm a little bit surprised they pulled the trigger for Houston, but honestly, I'm pumped. I can't wait to see him out there. As everyone knows, that family has a freaking huge following, and there is so many super fans out there, so many Hayden Deegan super fans out there, and there's so many Hayden Deegan absolute haters out there. So no matter how it goes, we're going to hear both those sides absolutely chirping this weekend. But which I don't get how so many people can absolutely hate a kid. Like, I get it that he's almost like a Jet Lawrence, where everyone just, like, all the media talks about is Jet Lawrence or Hayden Deegan, but still, like, just to have an insane amount of hate for someone, especially there's like a lot of grown dudes out there freaking just talking so much shit about, what's he's like 16 years old or something. A 16-year-old, so I don't know, just messed up. But yeah, he's moving up along with Talon Hawkins. Talon had a really good ride in the Supercross Future race last weekend in Anaheim too, so those guys got a little warm up in the week before their debut professionally this weekend in Houston for the first round of the East Coast. So really cool to see those guys move up. And going back, or heck, let's just dive in a little bit to some of the riders further back. We got a lot of signups so far. We got 56 signups and a lot of big names in here. We got Chase Hymus in here. We got Marshall Welton. We got Jordan Smith, like I said, Jace Owen, Max Anstey. I'm really excited to see him. I've been a huge fan of his well before he came back over to the States. And when he was doing GPs, he absolutely killed it over there and did really good. And coming over here again, and he, I think he's going to do some good stuff. He's back on 250s now, so it's going to be a little bit different to see. But he was on 250s this offseason in World Supercross and then doing the Aussie stuff as well. So I'm a little bit curious to see where he's going to land. Honestly, that's where I'm a little bit not necessarily stumped, but I guess, like, I think he does have a decently high ceiling, along with, I don't think he has that low of a floor, though. I don't know, like, I could see him getting on the podium for sure, running around there. I guess we'll see how that plays out this weekend, see if I'm right there, but I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised, though, if he got a third place. Wouldn't be surprised, but with all the guys we have in here, these big names, like, I wouldn't be surprised either if he got, like, an eighth or ninth. So we'll see how that goes. Him this year on his, first year over here in the States on the Firepower Honda 250. So Excited to see what he can do. We got Preston Kilroy, like I said, filling in on the Club MX Yamaha. What else do we got? Also, we got the Frenchie coming over from the GPs. We got Tom Viel. That's one guy I am really excited to see this weekend. I think he is absolutely going to kill it this outdoor season, but Supercross is a huge question mark. It's always interesting to see how those GP guys do, and some of them, you know, get the hang of it, but some of them, you know, it takes a little bit of time, but traditionally the French guys have been pretty badass and kill it in Supercross, but we'll see how he is, and I don't think the expectations are crazy high on him, but I guess it would be pretty nice for Red Bull KTM to have a top 250 guy and a contender as well. So he's another guy to have your eyes on this weekend. And if I make him predictions, like fantasy wise, I don't have a fantasy or a 250 fantasy league, but if I did, I would have no idea where to put him, honestly. Like Max Anstey, like how I said, I wouldn't be surprised if he got a podium or a ninth. Like, I kind of somewhat have an idea, but with Tom, like, I know the dude absolutely hauls, but how's that going to transition over to the Supercross track? And then, and another thing, you see, like, testing videos over the winter with guys, and where they look like they're on rails, but then also, how's that going to transition over to race night? So we'll see how that goes, and yeah, so I don't really even have a prediction for him. I'm glad I don't have a 250 fantasy league, because I would be probably changing my picks 100 times, moving him almost all the way up, moving him like fifth, or then moving him back, you know, outside the top 10. But we'll see how that plays out. But it should be a pretty stacked class. Also, it was announced this past week that Nick Romano's hurt, and he's back now though, but he is not racing the first round of the East Coast, so he's going to sit out for a bit, then join the Star Racing team later on. But going back to some bigger names in this class, I think that the East is going to be more of a question mark, where the West is pretty cool. You know, you got Cameron McAdoo over there along with Jet Lawrence, the big star. Then you got RJ Hampshire, and you got some big names over there, you know. But over here in the East Coast, like, I wouldn't be surprised if Hunter absolutely dominates, but the rest of the racing, I think, is going to be really good. You got guys like Mosman, Anstey, like I said. A couple of these guys I've already mentioned. But I think it's just going to be... who was I thinking of? Nate Thrasher. Mind blank there for a second. You got guys like Nate Thrasher where they absolutely dominate. Then you expect them to kill it. And then they just... you're looking down the results or the timing and scoring, and you're like going down name by name, and can't find him until he's like, you look at seventh, you're like, oh my god. But I think, you know, he's has another year under his belt, and I think he's going to be up there and battling on the podium each weekend. And yeah, I guess that's my pick, my bold pick here, but we'll see how he is. I don't think he's going to be as inconsistent as he was, but who knows. This year has been pretty crazy, you know, with just everything going on. Can't really zone in on one thing, but so much stuff going on this weekend. But yeah, there's a lot of big names in here, and also a lot of names where these guys, you would consider them like and just inside the top 10 guy, like a 8th, 9th, 10th place guy, and there's just a ton of them. So it's going to be some really good racing right around the top 10 and right outside the top 10 as well. So that's going to be really good. And also, another rider making his debut is Chance Hymus. Really excited to see him last year in the Futures when he was racing Rider D. He did look really good on that track and in Utah, and I think he's gonna be up there with the boys running really good. So we'll see that. And along with another name that I've been hearing a lot on social media lately is the Arena Cross racer of Michael Hicks. We'll see him, and I'm not too sure where he's gonna end up. But he's been looking good in Arena Cross, surprising some people, but excuse me there. I don't know where he's going to end up, but, further back, but another name to keep an eye out for. Man, I got the hiccups bad now, but chew it. Man, strong case of the hiccups going after me here. Ooh. But anyways, another rider is the 285 of Cody Shockey. There's been hardly any talk about Cody. It's kind of been surprising, really surprises me, because just a couple years ago when he was absolutely killing it on that FXR Chaparral Honda team, Michael Lindsay's team, was it 2021? Everyone, like, he was the talk of the pits, and everyone was talking about him, but with being hurt all last year, I think he just, everyone forgot about him. And he's right there. He's on that Phoenix race in the Honda, and we'll see how he does. And honestly, he kind of slipped my mind going into this weekend too, as well. Yeah, him. You got Caden Braswell on there. Yeah, just a lot of really big name guys here, and that I think this East Coast Championship is gonna shape up to be a way better championship than the West Coast. And really can't wait to see this go down. And what else did I want to mention? Oh, yeah, we got Rocky Mountain Fantasy. If you haven't joined our league yet on Rocky Mountain Fantasy, search us up there, Republic League on there, under Moto Space 247. And Rocky Mountain Fantasy Wildcard this weekend is 9th. So I think I'm always going to change my picks. Like, we did a weekly episode earlier this week, I think on Tuesday, and I've been having issues with trying to get this published, and I thought I had that tonight before I started recording here a second ago, and then just ran into some more issues getting that going. So who knows if that's going to get posted this week. This may be the only episode this week, but if not, I've known I talked about that for a while on there in the last episode. But just fantasy wise, was discussing on there Sexton. Went with him a couple weeks ago. And then last week I was like, I'll go with the safe pick of Tomac. And then it was the complete opposite. You know, Sexton gets the dub, and Tomac goes down in that pretty gnarly crash. And man, that rhythm he was doing was pretty badass. I stopped and I took a video of the TV with my phone. I'm like, that's so sick. I'm just comparing it, him and Cooper there. And in the next lap, sure enough, he just absolutely wads it up on that tough block. That crash looked like really ugly, but I think for how bad that crash was, that's as good as that crash could ever have been. He did get lucky there. From what it sounds like, he is he's not hurt, at least nothing serious is hurt. I'm pretty sure he has to be banged up, just bruised up by now, but from what it sounds like on his socials, is that he's, you know, he's not banged up really that bad, and he's ready to go this weekend. So, and even if it is pretty bad, I think we all know Eli Tomac's going to tough it up and ride and put in a really solid ride. And fantasy-wise, I don't know. Like, I don't know if I should try to play it safe with him again or go for Sexton, but we've all seen that flashy speed from Sexton last year in the Supercross season. He looked really good, just had a few of those mistakes, as we all know, that that caught him or that cost him. And then in the outdoor series, he really stepped it up, and he looked really good and put in a really good and entertaining championship battle all the way up into the last round there. So I have a lot of hope in him, and I think he can do really good things. It's just and he did really good in Houston. Was it 2 years ago when he was railing around the sand corner in Houston? It was a right-hand corner, and there was like a little single coming out of the sand. I think, yeah, wasn't that a single? And then he just absolutely lawn darted himself into the face in the next jump going into that rhythm. But before that, he was looking really good. So, you know, hopefully he has that speed this weekend, but he can, you know, stay on two wheels. But fantasy-wise, I don't know. I made my picks earlier, and I forgot who I picked. I have to go back in the episode if I can listen to it and see what it is if I can't get that published. But I always change my picks, like, later on. Like, I make my picks Monday, and then I change them Wednesday, and then change them normally Friday. And then I try not to touch them after qualifying because I just think way too much. I get just, you know, then I change it, like, 5 times in the last, you know, couple of qualifying sessions. But I don't know. I feel like Eli's going to come back swinging, though, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if Chase gets the W in 9th place. I think Christian Craig is going to make his way up, and he has made it known that he's not happy with his results so far, just right outside the top 10 there. And we've all seen his speed on the 450. Not like he's a newbie to this 450 and can't handle it or anything. He's been racing 450s for years. He's even got, isn't that like 11 Supercross, 450 Supercrosses, that is, under his belt so far. And then he's got plenty of outdoor races under his belt. So it's just, you know, just getting used to that rock star Husky. And since he stayed over in California this week, the word was out that he stayed there instead of flying home. They get some more testing done, so hopefully they found some good settings and something to just trend upwards and get him inside the top 10, because I believe he can be right there hanging around the outside of the top 5 there. No problemo. But yeah, the wild card being 9th, I don't think he's going to make some dramatic jump. Who knows, he could. He's shown the speed before, but I think he's going to creep his way up, you know, week by week, and I think he's going to make his way inside the top 10, getting in that wild card ride of 9th, or the wild card spot of 9th, I should say. And I think he's going to keep on getting better and better. But I think I've touched on everything I wanted to talk about here in our first ever Supercross preview show. Like I said, really excited to get these things underway. And if you haven't followed us on our social medias yet, our podcast page on Instagram is at the Moto247 Show. And on there, if you go to the link in our bio, that is to our Discord, if you're a listener on the show here, is huge. Our Discord has a lot of pages on there. If we're ever talking about a certain video, which we're talking about like 3 different videos last week, we got all those links up in there, because a lot of them I'm pretty sure you guys haven't, you know, seen. So if you want to know what the heck we're talking about, click on that link there in the Discord. And, you know, you can watch those videos. We got listener questions on there. We got race night chat in there, along with a few other things. And we're just getting that going as well. So we're just getting that kicked off and have a lot more plans with that as well. So, like I said, go to Instagram at the Moto247 Show. Click that link in our bio to go into our Discord server on there. Then our main page is on Instagram at moto.247. But anyway, man. Gonna have the hiccups so bad still. It's hit me hard. But anyways, thank you guys so much for tuning in to this episode here, and see you guys next week. And hopefully the episode from earlier this week gets uploaded. But if not, see you next Monday. Peace out, guys.
And I also want to give a big shout out to our newest sponsor here on the show, which is Blood Lubricants. As you guys know, it's really important to have really good oil in your bike. Be like Joey Crown, Alex Ray, Kyle Chisholm, Logan Carnow, and the whole SGB Honda team, and many more by using Blood Lubricants. Go over to their website and use code MOTO247 for 25% off on most products they have on there. Again, that's MOTO247 and all caps MOTO247 for 25% off on most products on their website. Go over there. Their link to their website is in their Instagram bio. So go over there and find them on Instagram as well, at Blood Lubricants. If you guys are looking to get graphics for your bike, your snowmobile, or even get a helmet wrap, I highly recommend you guys check out Prism Designs. Aaron at Prism does an amazing job. The graphics look so sick, and not only do they look really cool, the quality of those graphics are top-notch too. And I have a set on my pit bike, and man, they look cool. I have that Geico theme going on. And well, rest in peace, Geico Honda. Anyways, have that going, and it looks sick, but not only that, but the quality of them is really great, and that's something I was really pumped on, actually, because there's a lot of companies out there that the graphics look really cool, really clean. You know, you can post your picture on Instagram, and the bike looks so sick, but you have a weekend on the bike of doing a couple motos, and they're starting to peel and everything, and that's just really frustrating. And that's the complete opposite with Prism. The quality of them is really great, and they're at an affordable price too, so I highly recommend you guys check out Prism Designs. You can find them on Instagram at PrismDesigns_company, and then their link to their website is right there in their bio. So definitely recommend you check out Prism.